Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hi everybody and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and today I have on the show, actually not just today, this is the first show of a series that we are launching on the topic of mental health, the mental side of fitness, with Jenny Meyer and myself. And Jenny is a fantastic human being. She's one of our Fitfluential ambassadors. If you look her up on her website, of course, we'll link that up in the show, Jenny Meyer Fitness. You're going to look at this woman and go, wow, she's gorgeous. She's fashionable. She's fit. She's the mom of these amazing, beautiful children. Why are we talking to her about mental health and what is the mental side of fitness? Well, let me just tell you, and I guarantee you, I don't care if you're already on your fit journey and you're just in sustainability mode or maintenance mode, if you're just starting your journey, if you've hit a plateau, wherever you are, I guarantee you. And while I think this is something we see more in women, much more in women, this definitely can apply to men as well. You are experiencing to some degree pretty much everything we're going to talk about on this series. If you have bad body image, and you probably thought I was going to say bad body odor. It sounded that way as I was saying it. If you have body dysmorphia issues, if you deal with negative self-talk and you're incredibly insecure, if you experience any form of emotional eating, binge eating, extreme dieting, all of those things, stress eating, how many of us have eaten our feelings, as the saying goes, these are things that aren't just exclusive to one time in your fitness journey. It's not like just appropriate to say that somebody who's beginning to diet or start a weight loss journey is going to experience. This is stuff you experience all the time. And I firmly believe, I've certainly found it to be true myself, that your success in your health journey, in your fitness journey, is really going to be, it's going to be most correlated with where your mindset is. Where, if you're mentally strong, if you are mentally able to deal with these inevitable challenges and emotions that are going to come up that we all have, that's when you're going to be successful. We all can figure out how to eat better. We all can figure out to a certain degree, you know, we need to move more, we need to be active. Those are not the most difficult components, in my opinion, of getting healthy and getting fit. The real battle is in your mind, and it's something that, frankly, you're going to have to deal with, all of us have to deal with on an ongoing basis. And there's so many of these topics that we don't talk about. We don't talk about enough. And so that's number one why we're launching this series, because so many of us have these issues, and because we don't talk about them enough, we're suffering in silence. Well, that stops, because I want everybody to understand that even though you have these issues, number one, know you're not alone, and number two, know there is a way to deal with them. So a little bit of background, incidentally, just a peek from Jenny's official bio. She actually obtained her degree in education and counseling, educational and developmental psychology, but she's only really gotten back into wanting to address this side of fitness with her clients. And when I heard that she was passionate about this, I said, you have to come on the show, because I found myself getting to such a better place in my fitness journey because I figured out how to deal with my mental and emotional issues. I still have them. I mean, they happen all the time. I'm just better equipped to recognize them and kind of calm down about it. And to know that we can discuss some of these issues, again, emotional eating, bad body image and improving your body image, improving your negative self-talk, changing self-sabotaging behavior. These are all topics we're going to discuss in this series. So I know you're going to want to tune in. In the first episode here, we lay the baseline. We talk a lot about, Jenny's background, how she personally started addressing her own emotional issues and emotional eating issues, mine as well. We share that. And then that's actually the first topic that we dive into in episode 2 is emotional eating. But first and foremost, listen to this first episode. Again, this is going to be an ongoing series, so just know that whatever we're covering, we will take deeper dives into a lot of these topics because, frankly, I almost think this is some of the most important stuff that we can talk about on the show. Yes, we want to educate on food and nutrition and sleep and just in general, wellness and longevity and getting better in every area of our lives, but this mental side of fitness isn't addressed enough, and it can derail all of us. And I want everybody to understand, again, you're not alone. There's an answer to this. And let's take the shame away from talking about some of this stuff. Bottom line is we all have issues. You will learn that more clearly as you listen. So tune in, enjoy this first of this series with Jenny Meyer. Enjoy. Everybody, welcome to the show. Jenny, welcome. Are you ready to go?
I am. Thank you so much for having me. Hey, everyone.
I'm so excited. I say that, actually, I'm just going to say this out loud. Kate from our production company told me when we first started recording podcasts, she's like, Kelly, you say you're excited about everybody. And I'm like, but I am. I am genuinely excited, but I really need to maybe look up in my thesaurus a better way to say I'm so excited because this topic, and for everybody listening, I shared this in the introduction. Jenny and I got to hang out in person in Scottsdale recently. We were at the Uriel Kames Healthpreneur event, and we got to spend some time eating some great food, some avocado toast, dealing with some interesting waiters who I really thought I was going to be proposed to that day. That was
I think you almost were, yeah.
I could have easily gotten married and just stayed out there at the Andaz Hotel and had a second career, maybe poolside. But we really started talking about this series that we're launching, and we didn't know we were going to launch a series, but of, the mental health side of fitness. And certainly we're going to define that for you today, but this is going to be a series that I know, particularly for our women that are listening, is going to be, it's so needed. I have these issues we're going to talk about quite a lot. Jenny is insanely organized, in addition to being insanely talented and beautiful and with wonderful children. We'll get into that. But she's got everything mapped out. And so she completes me because she took everything that we said we were going to talk about with emotional eating and the mental side to motivation, and she's mapped it all out. It is perfect. So, and before we start with our first question, Jenny, I just want to ask because I didn't realize you were 2 hours behind me. So I'm coming to you guys live from Austin, where today is the first day. It's October. Is today October 28th? It's the first day I put my heat on. And Jenny, where are you? Are you in Oregon? Am I crazy?
No, I'm in Idaho. So I'm in, it's close.
I'm in out there.
Somewhere up north. So I'm in the northern part of Idaho, really close to Canada. So it's literally really cold out right now. It's probably about 25 degrees out. And it's still October. So yeah.
Do you have a fire in?
Yes, it is going right now.
That's the one thing that I wish my place had is a fireplace. There's nothing better than when it's fall and winter to have a fire. I mean, really, you could even have a fire in the, my dream is to have a bedroom, a master bedroom with a fireplace, but I digress. We're not going to get all Chip and Joanna, HGTV, me talking about home decor. Don't worry, everybody. We're going to dive right in. So before we get into the meat of our topic today, which is, again, mental health and fitness, Jenny, I always like to ask people, especially when they're the first time on the show, what, you know, at Fitfluential, we always say that we are fitness found, and we help people find their fitness, find what's, what works for them, what they love that will be a sustainable way of life that they actually enjoy. You know, fitness shouldn't be, fitness and health, it shouldn't be a punishment. It should be something that you're like, wow, this is changing my life and making me better in all areas. And that's what our goal is. And that's part of what we're doing on the podcast, introducing great people like you that can help people find what they, what areas they need help in, what motivates them, and find their fitness. For you though, when did, you know, you're already pretty far down along your path and you've learned a lot of great lessons. When did you first start getting into wanting to be fit and healthy? When was that for you and why?
So I'm going to give my age away. So I'm 34 right now. And it didn't start until about 5 years ago. So I was 29 and I had 3 kids under the age of 4. So I had my last daughter at 28 and I have 3 girls, like you said. But it didn't start until my youngest was a year old. And I just got to the point where I was literally sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I know that's such a cliche saying and you hear it all the time, but for me, it was so real. My background, my schooling is in counseling, educational, developmental psychology, mental health, and I was working in a social work agency for years, and I actually split and started my own agency in social work, and I had 3 small kids. I wasn't taking care of myself. I never did growing up. I wasn't per se like extremely obese, but I had fluff. I had weight I could lose, and I was not taught how to live a healthy and sustainable life. I was taught that you needed to do hours upon hours of cardio to lose weight. You had to eat perfect, and so I didn't care. And through my college years, I didn't care. I did start to care a little bit in college, just like, you know, you're uncomfortable, you're self-conscious in everything that you wear, how you carry yourself. I had struggled with depression. I got married when I was 21. We tried for years to get pregnant, had miscarriage, postpartum depression after my first, but it was pretty bad to where I was taught to count calories. That's what was the in fad when I was in college. And I literally, this is no joke, would save up my calories all day long so that I could have a Subway sandwich for dinner and Cold Stone ice cream. Like that is a true story. And my husband would just like laugh. And I'm like, no, I want my banana ice cream from Cold Stone. It was like 2 blocks away from our apartment at that time. And
I'm sorry to interrupt. Did you do like skin, for me, it was Skinny Cow. And again, this is not to say that these products are bad. This is not a judgment. It's just that back when, and I'm curious, Jenny, when were you in college? Was it like, because for me, I'm thinking about, and my trainer gives me heck. He's always like, it's not 1996 anymore. And yeah. I think that was the height of when it was low fat, counting calories, excessive cardio, all the step aerobics were coming out. Yeah. And that's when I was living on lean cuisines and Skinny Cows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how we were taught. So it was early. I graduated high school in 2001. So it was early 2000s, but that's how I was raised. Everything was low fat, like no fat. But at that point when I was counting calories, I didn't care about the fat. Like it was full fat, like Cold Stone ice cream, the banana or the cake batter ice cream. Like literally it would be like 1,000 calories in ice cream. So in my head, I'm like, all right, I have like 1200 calories for my day, which it also is such a bad way to look at it, right? Because now I'm in the best shape of my life eating 1,800 to 1,900 calories on any given day. But 1,200 calories a day, and I would eat a Subway sandwich, about 200 to 300 calories, and then I'd have 1,000 calories for ice cream. And that was my way of life. Yes. So then fast forward a few years after my baby, struggled with postpartum depression really bad, and just the ups and downs of depression and anxiety in general, just about my own body image. I had no energy at all. Didn't know how to work out. I was that person that bought every infomercial program out there, and I would do it for a week and then, nope, don't like that one. And it wasn't until about 5 years ago that I was introduced to weight training and strength training, and I literally fell in love. That my body started to change. I learned how to lift weights with literally 10 minutes of cardio, like HIIT style cardio at the end of my strength training session, and my body totally changed. And that's when I just kept going. I fell in love with it. And so 3 years ago, I sold my social work company and was approached to buy the gym that I was working out at. I went back, I studied to be a personal trainer, wanted just to get into this, started online boot camps for women. And I really just wanted to take my knowledge and what I had learned and change my life with and teach other women that it is possible. Like you don't have to start in high school. You don't have to start young. You know, you can be anywhere. And if you learn how to do it the right way and find something that you love, you can change your life. And it changes everything. It changes your confidence, how you carry yourself. You know, 5 years ago, I would never have agreed to be on a podcast because I'd be too nervous. Like just, you know, just even to talk about it. But fitness really changed my life in every aspect. So yeah, so that's my story in a nutshell.
Well, I want to say everything you just said is so true. And that's what, frankly, I'm totally self-plugging and not meaning to, but it is what it is. That's why I founded Fitfluential, because yeah. I know that once you start down a fitness journey, and it might be that you start for one reason, and it might be superficial. There's nothing wrong. You know, I hate it when people are like, well, you shouldn't do fitness because you want to, you know, be a certain size or whatever. Give me a break. You know, everybody deep down inside wants to look good and feel good in their clothes. And there's nothing wrong with that, in my opinion. So for whatever reasons you start, you will become so fired up, so empowered. And this is for men and women. It really does bleed over into other areas of your life. And it's kind of a beautiful thing to know that instead of as you age, you are getting, you know, more unhealthy, more tired, feeling like a sloth, having no energy, your clothes don't fit, you don't look good. I mean, that was the stereotype I saw growing up was, you know, and particularly with moms. I mean, no offense. I would just see a lot of moms get married, have kids, completely give up on being in shape, being in fashion, taking care of themselves, feeling good. And they didn't ever seem to walk around looking like they were proud of themselves. I mean, Jenny, when you guys look her up, she is a stunner. When you tell me you're 34, every time I see your Instagram and I see you with kids, I'm like, whose kids are you babysitting? Because she's absolutely stunning. You look younger. That's also something that you'll start to see when people start. If you start to pursue a fitness, health, and wellness lifestyle, I firmly believe it's almost like you're aging backwards because, you know, you glow from the inside out, you have energy, you hold yourself differently. It really is an amazing thing. So I love everything that you said. I am curious before we start diving into the whole mental health side of things, who you mentioned with your story and everything you said, I can relate to. That's how I started was counting calories, you know, the whole lean cuisine. And I kid you not, I specifically remember that there were days like you with the ice cream. Yeah. I loved those skinny cow ice cream sandwiches so much that I would, there was one, not just one or two days, several days where my 1200 calories would consist of entirely skinny cow ice cream. Oh, yeah. I'm not happy with that, but it is what it is. Cause I'm like, I'll have this one and then I'll have another and then I'll have another. And you know what? This is a preview that you can touch on when we start getting into emotional eating and mental health issues. Yeah. I did it in secret because I would never have told anybody what I'm just telling you and the Fitfluential world right now, which is I, in a way, binged. I did it all the time. I have all kinds of emotional eating, kind of impulse eating, fitness issues in my past, and I'm happy to share them and the things that helped me get past it. But before we dive into that really quickly, you mentioned that it was you getting into weight training that changed your life. Mm-hmm. And I'm just curious, was it a friend of yours that did that for you that said you really should do this? Was it a trainer? I'm just curious, like who was that person that was so significant in your life that got you into weight training?
It wasn't really anyone in particular. My office was literally across the street from a gym, and it's all windows, which the gym now that I own, it's all windows on one side. And so I would sit there and just watch people all day lift weights and come in and out. And it was just kind of just that small voice in my head, which, you know, for me is God, that just kind of pushed me in that direction. And I went in and talked to the owner of the gym. She was really cute. She was probably in her 30s at the time, girl. And she just kind of showed me the ropes of the gym, and I gave it a shot and ended up meeting friends there, and formulating some really good friendships from the gym world. And then it just turned into one of my really good girlfriends. We would just set up a time and we'd meet there, and she was already kind of into strength training. And it was funny because I literally had just met her a couple months before I started strength training as well. So it was just a combination of a lot of things, no one in particular. And it ignited a fire in me to then research strength training. Like, what is it? What does it do? So I would come home, and when the kids went to bed, I'd be on my phone looking up articles, and we'd send each other just articles to read. Just, you know, let's try this move, and we just made it fun. It wasn't a plan that we followed. It was, oh, let's just try this today. That's cool. You know, yeah. And I felt my body change, and I felt so much stronger than I had ever been. And in high school and even elementary school, I was teased a lot. Just like, I was not into sports. I wasn't the athletic kid. I literally stayed out of the spotlight when I was younger, and had a lot of people really just make fun of me. I can't pinpoint like what they were making fun of me, but I was not that popular kid. And when I started getting stronger, especially after having three kids, I just wanted to keep going. And I would literally come home and to my husband, like, look, I can do 5 push-ups now. Like, look at this. And bless his little heart. But he was just like, oh, you know, good job. That's awesome. Like, you know, and it just became this joke. And I'd show my kids, because at that age, being so young, they were totally into it. Like, oh, let me try a push-up.
See, that's so cool.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I mean, there's so many, this could be like a whole other series that we should do. I mean, really, we should do a series, because it still is such a pervasive, especially with newbies. And I'm very passionate about people that are just starting their fitness, health, and wellness journey. Because I know, you know, I already had in some way a certain interest in fitness. And it started for me way back with Taibo, back in the days when we still had VCRs. And I was by Taibo Advanced Live on VHS tape. But I know what it's like to be completely, utterly lost. You don't know, you don't know what macros are. You don't know what your what does BMI mean? Does that even matter anymore? People just think, oh, it's just about carbs or gluten-free. There's so many misconceptions and misinformation out there, and it's overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And so I do always have that passionate spot for newbies, and to hear your story and to hear you talk about strength training is awesome, because that is still a pervasive myth understanding, if you will, where women are scared of, there's two things. They're scared that they're going to look like a bodybuilder if they lift weights, which is cray cray. And then they're also thinking, I have to lose weight. I'll tone up later. So I'm going to just do excessive cardio and limit my calories. Mm-hmm. And that's a long road to nowhere. And we all want to save women from that. So that's, we'll talk, Jenny. That could potentially be something else that we have you back on. And I want to have a number of different perspectives on that, a number of different women talking about that, because especially for newbies, they need to understand how much weight training will change everything for you. From the mental, you know, and part of that I'm sure we'll touch on, from the mental, just feeling like you said, you came home, you felt good about yourself, you were making progress, you felt stronger. That's what women should feel. You should feel proud of yourself, not weak and codependent. Again, that's a whole other show. Mm-hmm. I feel like Phil Donahue right now. let's dive into, and this is what I love too, when you and I first spoke, you told me about your, you know, your fitness training business, how you own a gym, you have these online services, and, you know, you shared with me what you're really passionate about is helping people. I think maybe I had shared with you some of my emotional eating issues of the past and how they still creep up. And that's how we got started on this. So tell the folks that are listening, you know, how and why was it for you that you became so interested? Was it through your clients in wanting to help women so here's part one of the question. How and why did you get interested in really wanting to help women on the mental, understand the importance of mental health on your fitness, health, and wellness journey? So that's part one is when did that start for you? And then number two, give us a brief introduction as to when we're talking about mental health and fitness, what exactly does that mean?
Mm-hmm. For me, as far as helping women, the biggest reason why I went into I switched from the mental health field and social work field into fitness was I wanted to provide women who are just like me, who didn't know anything, I wanted to give them hope and a starting point. So I so wish I had someone like me when I was starting out, so I didn't have to go through the ups and downs of figuring it out on my own. And so that's where I really wanted to teach other women and be that person that gets them through those beginning stages, because it's hard. And when you're by yourself doing it, it's so hard. And there's so much stuff out there that you just get confused on. So that's why I went into the fitness field and bringing in the emotional part and the mental health side. So touching on the anxiety and depression, that just tying in my schooling and my background and my own personal experience. That's why I just want to share that you have to recognize and kind of work on that emotional side in order to get your long-term results that you want, in order for the weight to stay off. I still, to this day, struggle with emotional eating, more so self-sabotaging for me. And that concept we'll talk about later, but it is so prevalent. And I see it with all of my clients and I still struggle with it. I am so far from perfect. And I love sharing that with my clients because they do tell me all the time, like, I love working with you because you're real. And the thing is no one's perfect. If you look out there and see all of these trainers that are so fit and helping so many people, if they're saying that they eat and work out 100% of the time, like on point, it's a lie. Every person struggles with some of this stuff, like the degree, you know, it depends on the degree, but everyone struggles with it. And so I just want to be that, just that link for women, just to teach them. And let's dive into this emotional eating. Let's dive into underlying depression and anxiety that you may not, like, you may not think that you have it, but you do. And your body image and how do you look at yourself? How's your mindset? Do you look at yourself and hate yourself? You have to, in order to get the lasting results, you have to kind of touch on that stuff. So that's where I'm at and why I'm so passionate about it.
I'm giving you like a fist bump and all the way over here because it's so true. When I think of myself and when I started working with my first trainer, Jay, and then, you know, the people that have been influential in my life, Fitfluential, Whitney Jones, who I also interviewed on the podcast, and then my current trainer, Blaine, who's just transforming my life in every way. But I firmly believe, like, anyone right now that's listening could realistically go online. They could find your website, right, Jenny? Mm-hmm. They could find your online training program. They could go if they wanted to compete and find Whitney Jones. They could mm-hmm. find a local trainer. Anybody can find a diet, right? And a plan. They can measure their BMI with any kind of online calculators, like do a bunch of stuff for free and find a training program that's sensible for them and figure out what to eat. But the truth is, in my opinion, in my experience, if you're not dealing with the mindset and the mental side of things, you will never last. You could start and 3 days into it, sabotage it for, and I've talked about this for years, but in particular, the reason that I've been able to get through so many struggles with massive hormonal imbalance and basically like my body doing the polar opposite of everything I was pouring into it. So my food was right, my training was right, my body was like, you know, the polar opposite. And what I had to do was do that, you know, unraveling of things in my mind, realizing how much my negative self-talk, and so many of these things for you guys that are listening, you're going to hear a lot of this stuff like emotional eating, you know, negative self-talk, you know, you have to be positive. Just if you've got skepticism and you've heard a lot of this before, just understand, we're really going to like break it down for you here. And I'm happy to use myself as an example, because the more I've figured out my issues, and believe me, there are thousands of issues in KellyAlexa.com. I'm like the gift that keeps on giving, but I've become so much stronger and able to talk myself down off of a ledge so that I don't self-sabotage. It's a journey worth taking. And if you've been frustrated with your weight loss, with building muscle, with getting where you want in your fitness journey, I'm going to guess that 90% of those reasons are probably mental and emotional. And if you start dedicating yourself to investing the time to figuring that stuff out, it will be a game changer. It's not an overnight thing. It is an ongoing thing. And Jenny, you made such a great point. What you said about, hey, you know, like if you guys, again, you look up Jenny online, she's beautiful. She's gorgeous. She's in great shape. You're going to go, well, she doesn't have any problems. I love that you said you still struggle. And me, it was a huge, in a weird way, it was a comfort for me to be around people that I look up to, like Kathy Friedrich. She's a legend in the space, right? I've been around personal trainers and celebrity trainers, and all of them will say, I've had times I've gotten depressed. I've fallen off the wagon. I've gone on, you know, like a week of bad binge eating, and they have to get themselves back on track. These issues happen to everybody. So yeah, that's such a great point. You brought up, and I'm looking at like my notes, cause I've been taking notes as you've been talking. We have so much to address.
Yeah.
And we're going to go into part two shortly and specifically get onto our really one of my biggest issues, which is emotional eating. But before we get there, you know, we talked about anxiety. You brought up anxiety and depression. And a lot of people, I think this is a good kind of wrapping up part one topic to talk about, that there's a lot of anxiety around food. And I know what that means for me. I can tend to get anxiety because I think that the food I eat absolutely has to be perfect, or I need to just start all over and give up. And then I want to eat bad food for a whole weekend and start all over on Monday. I have those mindsets that come back all the time. How would you define, is that what is typical of anxiety about food when you say that you talk to a lot of folks about this topic?
Yeah. And basically, I guess in short, so anxiety is stress and over worrying about something. It could be food. It could be life in general. Like, there's so many different degrees of anxiety. And when you're anxious, your body goes into a stress response, which is your fight or flight mode. When that happens, your cortisol levels rise. When that happens, you store fat easier. So it's kind of just like a trickle down that anxiety about anything can eventually lead to fat storage. And if you're trying to lose weight, that it makes it so much harder. Your body, when your body is consistently under stress, you cannot metabolize food the same way as if you are stress-free. And it could be around anything. So it's a huge, huge step to lessen your anxiety around food, because there, like I said, there's so many different views on it out there. And if you don't, if you're looking at everything, you don't know what to do. Like you said, it's people think, oh, you need to stay away from carbs. Well, no, this plan says to eat carbs. This plan says high fat, keto diet. Like, there's so many different things. And you can get to the point where you are so stressed out and you are so anxious around what to eat. But you have to take those steps literally to calm yourself down, get more sleep, lower your cortisol levels, and find a plan that works for you. And some people, it is the high fat, low carbs. Some people, it is the carb cycling. And what FitFluential is founded on, right? Find your fitness, find what works for you, and lessen that anxiety around food. It's one of the keys to losing weight. And if finding freedom around food is so huge. So when we finally let go of our anxiety around food and around our body in general, looking in the mirror, our cortisol levels will naturally decrease. Our stress load naturally decreases, and it allows our body to heal and repair and lose weight and reach our final goal. So it plays such a huge role in your fat storage and how you can lose weight in general.
That is okay. This is really what everything you just said is perfect. And I'm glad you brought up cortisol and fat storage, because I know for a fact that, and I have referenced this for folks that have been following me on my social platforms, particularly I tend to share more on my Instagram stories that are, you know, kind of more like what's going on each day. But I have seen that I have had better results this year since April. Now, part of this is training with Blaine, training consistently, having that accountability. Part of this is my doctor. You know, my doctor, Dr. Lane Sebring, who has also been interviewed on the show, we'll link up to him. I owe him my life for helping me restart my hormones. That was a big part of it. But then once I got my body to be, it was almost like a car. I keep referencing my body was like with the thyroid and all the issues. It was kind of like a dead car with a dead battery. And Dr. Sebring helped me get my hormones right. We did a brief round of HCG, and that it was like it turned my thyroid, and I don't even know if it was just my thyroid, just it got my body to be a car with a working battery again. Yeah. But what has really helped me, and I've shared this past summer, I feel like I got rid of a lot of my stress and anxiety. I started giving myself a break about food. And you saw, Jenny, like when you and I went out to eat that morning, you know, we had something, and I forget what it was, but it was on toast. And I was like, old me would have been freaking out. Oh my God, it's toast, what is this? And freaking out about having like a Bloody Mary. I think I had a Bloody Mary. I'm not quite sure because the waiter was proposing to me. But I really have learned to relax. And I firmly believe that because for the first time in my life, I am chilling out when I have two cheat meals a week instead of one. Like, it doesn't mean you're not aware of it. It doesn't mean that you don't go, whoa, okay, feeling a little tighter in the pants today. Here's the deal. You got to kind of go back and go, wow, been a little loose on here. I've given myself a little bit too much of a leash. You have to have the awareness. But instead of like mental self-flagellation, right? And then the self-loathing and you suck, I can't believe you did this. That's a whole negative self-talk thing that we'll get into in another episode here. But because I don't do that, and because I'm a lot more chill, I firmly believe that's why at 48, I'm getting the best results. I sometimes surprise myself when I look in the mirror and I see the results I'm getting. And I firmly believe it's because I'm not stressing as much about food. I'm not perfect yet and I have issues, but I will tell you when I used to look in the mirror every day and be filled with, as Jenny said, stress and anxiety about my body, and therefore stress and anxiety and fear. I had developed a fear of food. And we'll address that. We're going to get into part two here in our next episode with emotional eating, but I developed a real fear of food. And in those days, I just couldn't make progress with my body. So everything that Jenny just said, 1,000% true. There are other factors that go into it, but ladies, if you are storing fat around your belly, around your middle, if you are, you know, there's again, other things that play into this, but if you're running, you know, an hour and a half every day or an hour every day, and you're cutting your calories and you're completely stressed at work and kids and everything, that is going to have a massive effect. And that's why if you really want to change your body and change your life, you've got to start looking and recognizing the fact that long-term sustainable weight loss starts in your head. And this is probably a good point for us to close up this episode one on. Do you agree with that? Like that's where the most important thing for anybody, whether they've already started their journey or whether they are just looking into getting healthier, would you agree, Jenny, that it's got to start in your head as opposed to whether you go keto or paleo or do CrossFit or yoga?
Yeah, it totally does. And what's so cool about it is that it's a cycle that once you let go of that and once you find that freedom towards food and looking at yourself with love and loving yourself, and the pounds start to drop off, it will actually then increase your mental health and increase your self-esteem and your overall self-image. So it's a cycle. Once you can finally let go of it, you start to lose weight. And then your mood gets even better and better because you start to feel better about yourself. So it's like, it is such a cycle. And if I can just offer like just a couple things really fast to close up with how you can really just take some mental strategies so you can find freedom towards food, so you can better your mental health around weight loss in general. The first one is start visualizing how you want to be. So instead of looking at everything you hate about yourself, start looking at everything you love about yourself and how you want to view yourself. So what do you want to look like? How do you want to feel? So start visualizing that every single day, day in and day out. Set those small goals. So start easy. Start, you know, maybe it's, I'm going to work out 15 minutes three times a week this week, or I'm going to have 90 ounces of water every day this week. Start small. So start a small goal and then reward yourself with tangible things. So don't reward yourself with food. Don't reward yourself with that cheat meal. If you hit your goals, go get a manicure or a pedicure or something like that instead of always having it circle around food. So do your best to stay away from that. And then find a plan that works for you and find an accountability partner, whether it's a trainer, a friend, just find someone to help you and hold you accountable with whatever plan that you have found that you're passionate about. So those are the tips that I could offer just to kind of get your mental health and your the way you view yourself in general to start getting a little bit better so you can start losing weight.
I love that you said that because actually I had been writing notes while you were talking. And one of the things that came in my head about my own personal history is kind of back to those days of me eating like nothing but skinny cow all day. And there's a lot of, and I'm sure we'll go into this in some of these future episodes in this series about, you know, there's a lot of shame, right? Yeah. That when you do things like this and you kind of don't know why. But for me, there was a huge time period that I didn't get results because I was doing it alone. I didn't have a friend. I didn't have an accountability partner. It really wasn't until I read the book Body for Life by Bill Phillips. And then I met one of my dear friends who still is a friend of mine, Sherry. We've been text buddies since whenever that book came out. And we met in, this is the old days of the internet, back in forums. And she was my accountability partner. But until I had somebody that I could go, I don't know what my deal is. I am like, last night I was watching TV and I, like someone to confide in, someone that you can go, I'm having issues. Like I opened up a box of crackers and I ate all of them and someone else can go, oh my God, I did that too. And maybe you just get it off your chest. But when you are going at it alone, you know, having, the reason I founded Fitfluential was to have a community so that people could find out information, ask questions and not feel stupid, but also again, just kind of get it off your chest. Cause you know what, when you realize you're not alone, that's going to change your mental state of mind. When you're going at it alone and you're not getting results and you feel worse about yourself every day and you start beating yourself up, that's a long road to nowhere. So I love that you brought that up. I think we're going to definitely take a deeper dive into that in future episodes of this series. For now, we're going to wrap up. This is episode one, if you will, in the Jenny and Kelly Show. On mental health. We're going to come back with episode two, and I encourage you to tune in because episode two is going to be all about specifically a deep dive into emotional eating. And I certainly have plenty of experience in that area. So tune in. Thanks everybody for tuning into episode one of my series with Jenny Meyer on the mental health side of fitness. Please be sure to stay tuned for episode two.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace! Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.